Give God some praise on today. Give him some praise right where you are, because we serve a God who is awesome and worthy to be praised. Amen. And I first want to give honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit. Amen. I just feel safe in his arms. Amen. Amen. And this is a good time. There's no better time than now than to find solace and comfort and peace in the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to give honor to God, the head of my life, to Jesus Christ, the Savior of my life, the Holy Spirit, the comforter in my life. I want to give honor to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley Jr., to the deacons, to the praise and worship team, to the musicians, and to the AV staff. There is a word from the Lord on today. To my brothers and sisters watching on the Gospel America Network, to my brothers and sisters on Facebook and YouTube, there is a word from God on today. Come and go with me to the book of Romans. We're going to read the 4th chapter, the 19th through the 21st verse. And then we're going to also read 2 Chronicles 13, 18. But we're going to start with Romans 4, 19 through 21. And then make sure you have 2 Chronicles 13 and 18. If God's been good to you, hit the like button. If God's been awesome to you, hit the heart button. And then once you find it, I want you just to type in there, let's go. Let's go. Romans, the 4th chapter, the 19th through the 21st verse. And 2 Chronicles 13 and 18. Romans 4, 19 through 21. And there you'll find these words. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. 2 Chronicles 13, 18 says, thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. I want to use for a thought today, and those of you who are here with me, just repeat after me. If you're online, type it out when you've got it. Just for a thought, real brief. On today, the preacher's going to preach about when things don't look good. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you. We lift up your name. God, we just thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ. We just thank you for being the most awesome God. We thank you for being a God that never sleeps nor slumbers. God, we just thank you for your many, many blessings. We thank you for your patience and your long suffering. God, we just say thank you. Now, God, we ask that you just give us all the strength and all the power to continue to endure during these trying times. Now, God, we ask that you bless the praise and worship team. God, just bless them and thank you for them being here today to do what you've called them to do, oh God. Lord, we just thank you for those in the AV booth who have come and to let the service go off without any problems. Lord, we thank you for our pastor and our first lady. We thank you for every musician that's here on today. God, we ask that you bless those who are in the viewing audience. We thank you for those who are watching, who took time to wake up this morning and log on. Bless those who will watch later on, oh God. Now, Lord, we ask that I decrease, that you may increase. God, we ask that you just speak through my mouth. Think with my mind. And let he that has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church on today. Give us a mind to apply the word from up on high. God, allow us to trust in you and be encouraged on this day. You know every plight. You know every problem. Fix it like only you can. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. And the church said amen. Amen and amen. When things don't look good. And I think that we can all agree that we're in a time where things just don't look too good. I mean, you can be blind and deaf, and somebody could either sign to you where you could see them, or if you can't see, you could just listen to the news. You could listen to the voices of loved ones and friends, and you would know before too much time passed that we're in a position to where things just don't look good. Things didn't look all that great before. Amen. I mean, before March, we had our own pile of plights and problems. And I'm sure you could find a plethora of people that would agree that things didn't look good in their scenarios and in their situations before March 12th or 15th, before things got out of hand. I'm not much on politics, but I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know that we have an administration that doesn't care about the safety and the welfare of its citizens. We have an administration that doesn't care whether you live or die. They don't care whether your family lives or dies. And it might not incumbent the whole administration, but that who leads that administration does not care. Things just don't look good. They don't care if you have an underlying health condition. They don't even want to force people to wear masks in the presence of the public. I call that a plight in and of itself. They're trying to force us to send our children back to school when there's already teachers who have become sick and have died in other summer school programs across the country. I'm telling you, things don't look good. And while you're over here on this side because you're diabetic or because you're overweight or because we have heart problems or we've come out of chemo, while you're trying to avoid COVID, as a black man, I'm over here on the other side, and I'm ducking COVID too, but on the other side of me, I have to make sure that if I get pulled over, that I can make it home to my family without any problems. I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, that things just don't look good. Mothers are sending their sons and their children, and it's not just the men. If you look at the list of black people who've been killed behind you, there's not just black men, but there are a few black women who didn't make it. And it used to be you just had to worry about your sons, but you have to teach your daughters and your sisters and your wives. Be compliant. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Record. Call somebody. I just want to make sure you come home. I have to tell my wife, slow down a little bit. You got a nurse badge and you a pretty woman. Somebody pull me over, I might not make it. I'm telling you, things don't look good. And that's just when trouble is all around you. And that's just the pandemic and the racial issues that plague everybody. But when you compile that with your own issues, people already had sickness before COVID. People were already being discriminated against at their jobs, and people were already unemployed and couldn't find work and couldn't finish school. And people had all types of issues of incarceration and depression. It's just sometimes things don't look good. People are burying loved ones. We got people dying. Over 150,000 people have died, and people don't care. And I don't want to make it a black and white thing, because I've seen as many black people not want to wear a mask as white people. Okay, I can't make this a race thing. I'm trying to tell you that we have problems below the administration, because us as citizens, sometimes we just don't care about each other. Because if you come in my face and talk to me without a mask, you're saying, I don't care. So things don't look good on every level. And to dodge all that, we have to worry about not just people of other races killing us. We have to worry about sometime if I'm in the wrong spot, there could be one of my very own brothers that will take me out in a heartbeat because he wants what I got or because he thought I looked at him crazy and they could kill me. Sometimes things don't look good. But we have to address all the issues and not just get in on one. Because when we get the racial issue under control, and it might not be in our lifetime, we still have to come back and deal with the black on black crime issue as well. I'm just telling you, sometimes things just don't look good. We got a governor in Atlanta who is in Georgia who's suing the mayor of Atlanta because she's implementing a mask mandate. Where do we have the time or the resources to sue two officials in the same country, but in the same state, because one official is trying to look out for its citizens? In my 41 years, I've never seen a governor sue a mayor. I've never seen that. But when things don't look good, keep that in your mind as we go back to the text. My first point is we have to remind ourselves and everybody else, including our opponent, who we are. You have to remind yourself sometime that I'm a child of the King. You almost made me say something, but I'm a child of the King. I find myself on Facebook arguing with people sometime, and I have to backspace, delete, delete, delete. Because if I post that, somebody's going to sit me down up in here. I have to remind myself that I'm a child of the King. And even in the midst of chaos, I have to let my light shine. Because I might be the only Jesus that somebody else may never see. We have to remind other people that I'm not going to let you bring me out of the character of Jesus Christ because of what he's done for me. I'm not going to allow your ignorance and our disagreement to bring me out of character. We have to remind ourselves that agreement is not a contingency of love. It helps, but we can disagree and still love on one another. We can disagree and still show the same love that Jesus showed us. We can disagree and still be blessings to people, but because we disagree, things just don't look good. Some of us, our love is based on our agreement. As long as we're on the same page, we can roll and kick it and text and talk, but the minute you see different than me, the kind words kind of stop to proceed out of my mouth. Unity does not always mean we agree. Unity means that we can move to the same beat and allow objectives to be accomplished, and we can work through the disagreement. You can't be unified if I get mad at you because you see something different than me. Things don't look. We have to remind ourselves, and we have to tell Satan, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. I am a child of the King. And the Bible says, touch not my anointed. And hello, Satan, that's me. I'm the anointed of Jesus Christ. We have to remind ourselves and Satan who we are. 2 Chronicles 13:4-6 states, then Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim, which is the mountains of Ephraim, and said, hear me, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to his son, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, listen to this, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. Now, Let me tell you, Abijah was not the most spiritual person, but he knew enough that he knew what God had promised David. And he knew that it was with a covenant of salt. And we know that salt preserves. We know that salt keeps things from going bad. Before there was a refrigerator, they used salt. So Abijah was trying to remind Jeroboam who he was dealing with and the covenant that had been made, the promise that had been made. Don't worry about me, but the covenant that God had given David will stand above your rebellion. And even though he reminded Jeroboam of this covenant, he still decided to rebel. Reminding people of whose you are won't always stop the attack, but it puts you in a position of confidence. It eases anxiety and depression and fear, because regardless if though you don't want to listen to me, the covenant and promise yet remains. Let me say it one more time. Reminding people who you are, who you are and who you belong to, it may not stop the attack, but it will reassure us that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to remind ourselves and everybody else who we belong to. My next point is, we have to realize who the opponent is. We have to realize who the opponent is. Let me keep reading the text. 2 Chronicles 13:7 through 9 says this. Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. When Rehoboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hand of the sons of David, and you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as God. So this camp has decided to move on to idolatry and false gods. And that's where they're trying to find their power. And this is who's coming up. And see, you remember Abijah tried to remind them that you're coming up against this covenant, okay, that was made with salt through God and David. And here you are with golden calves. 9 says, have you not cast out the priest of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the people of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and 7 rams may be a priest of things that are not God's. We have to know who our enemy is. Okay, we have to know. See, Satan comes in because he's the author of confusion. Satan has people who are trying to further the agenda who are black, but then there are also black people who are doing silly stuff, who are burning down things and desecrating things and defacing public places, and they're not helping the agenda, but they're pushing us back. They're pushing us back. Because why? We're fighting amongst ourselves. So when I say stuff like that, there's a group of black people who will be mad at me for saying that. And when I say, like, we have to also, in addition to the racism, address the animosity and the hate and the crime within our own race, they get mad at you for saying stuff like that. See, we have to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Saints, it's going to be rough sometime. Because nobody wants to hear your message of love. Nobody wants to hear that I know black lives matter. I'm with it. But I also believe that all souls matter. And I have to make sure that they understand that black, white, or indifferent, your soul is important to God. And when all this is over, none of this flesh would inherit the kingdom of God. Because in order to worship God, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. As long as your blood runs red. I done got a little ahead of myself, but as long as your blood runs red, you will be welcome into the kingdom of God as long as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But we have to understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You are not my enemy. We may not agree. You may think masks are the dumbest things in the world, but I love you. You might want to vote for Trump in November. I'm going to pray for you, but I love you. We can't let our disagreement put out and darken the light of Jesus Christ that's in our heart. You might hate my black skin, but I love you because the Spirit of God compels me to love everybody. Ah. My final point, remain steadfast and immovable. Remain steadfast and immovable. Listen to 2 Chronicles 13, 10 and 12. It says this, but as for us, listen, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. See, the children of Israel, you have to understand, the children of Israel were rising up against God, but the children of Judah were standing on the promises of God. So, but Jeroboam caused an ambush. Listen to this. Caused an ambush to go around and behind them. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind Judah. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was both in front and in the rear, and they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. See, we so busy trying to cuss each other out and fight each other, sometimes you got to shout out to the heavens. But the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Let me keep reading. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter. So 500,000 choice men. This wasn't just any type of, bottom of the barrel men. Choice men of Israel. These were your green berets and your Navy SEALs. These were the cream of the crop. Choice men were slaughtered and fell and subdued at that time. And the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the God of their fathers. Let me break this down so we can move on and go home. Judah never had to raise a finger. All they had to do was intensify their praise and worship. All they had to do was intensify their relationship with Jesus Christ. All they had to do was call out to the Heavenly Father of their fathers, and God heard their cry and moved on their behalf. The minute that they shouted, the Bible says that God struck down. Abijah struck them down with a great slaughter, killed 500,000 choice men, and Judah never raised one sword. Well, Pastor Trey, what are you trying to say? As I come to a close, what I'm trying to tell you is that when COVID is over here, and racism's over there, and financial ruin is in front of you, and family mess is behind you, instead of fighting and coming out of your Christ-like character, make a shout out to God. Praise him, all ye lands. Lift up your gates and give God his due, even when things don't look good. I know that it looks like the world is going to hell in a handbasket, but God is still able, exceedingly and abundantly able, to do more than we can ask or think. The fact that the world is all jacked up does not stop God from being God. Donald Trump cannot hinder the power that God possesses. The fact that the administration don't care about me does not stop the fact that I'm God's son. It doesn't stop it. It doesn't stop it. So what I'm telling you is that even though a lot of us are avoiding sickness, even though a lot of us are avoiding racism, God is still in the midst. And there was a time when we faced the wages of sin, but God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, you still have another plight on your plate. And it's called hell for eternity. Because the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But thousands of years ago, God sent his son down through many generations. He led a perfect life. I'm not going to argue or debate this with you. I'm just going to give you the facts. He never sinned one time. He was born of a virgin. He came from Nazareth, which they said no good thing could come from Nazareth. Yet when God qualifies you, when God calls you, when God ordains you, when God qualifies you, God can take a Saul and turn it into a Paul. And God took this man out of Nazareth and he defied sin. He never sinned one time. He was tempted by Satan and he never gave in. But they still found him guilty. And they beat him all night long. They plucked hair from his beard. They pulled skin from his body. And they made him carry his cross up the hill. I'm not going to argue or debate with you. I'm just going to keep giving you the facts. And they put him in between two thieves. And they started to mess with him. They cast lot for his clothes. They put vinegar on his lips. They put a crown of thorn on his head. They drove nails through his feet. They drove nails through his head. And he never came out of character. He never sinned. He never lost his cool. But I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I can't come out of character in the midst of chaos, because when they were killing my Jesus, like they killing black men, he said, "Father." And he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder and he gave up his ghost. They couldn't take his life, but he gave it, because he told them that you can tear down this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again. And they laid him in a borrowed tomb. And he laid there all night Friday night. That's one day. And he laid there all night Saturday day. But on that third day, I'm not going to argue or debate with you. I'm just going to keep stating the facts. On the third day, he got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. And what that tells me is that COVID can take my body, but it can't touch my soul, because Jesus lives. He lives. I'm not going to debate or argue with you. I'm just going to keep stating the facts. And because I know he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow has in store, but I know Jesus is already there. I know he's already there. So if you got sickness in your body, just keep trusting in Jesus. If you don't know if you got COVID-19, keep trusting in Jesus. When things don't look good, the Bible says that I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. When things don't look good, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. When things don't look good, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When the things don't look good, the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. The Bible says that when things don't look good, I was young and now I'm old, and I'm yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. When things don't look good, reminded as I come to a close, when Abraham was 100 and his body was dead, and Sarah's womb had become too old, it said that Abraham never lost hope. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God while waiting for his son. He gave glory to God while waiting for his change. He gave glory to God while waiting for his breakthrough. He gave glory to God in the midst of the plight. He gave praises to God while all hell was breaking loose in his house. The point is that no matter what happens, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. When things don't look good, it's simple. Stay close to God. I don't care if they call you Uncle Tom or whatever. Keep preaching Jesus Christ. Keep preaching peace. I don't have to agree with you. And some people tell you, I don't even have to like you. But the Spirit of God compels me to love you. Love casts out a multitude. God is good. Pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer with me. Because if you don't know Jesus Christ, from an eternity standpoint, I don't care how good or bad things look for you in your life right now. If you don't have Jesus Christ, your eternal destination definitely don't look good. I don't have time to debate, and I'm not going to argue. I'm just going to state the fact that if you die without Jesus Christ in your heart, in hell is where you will lift your eyes. For all eternity. I tell some people, if I'm wrong, which I'm not, you don't have anything to lose. But if we're right, which we are, you have a whole eternity that you're gambling with. Repeat these prayers after me. Close your eyes and bow your head. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose on the third day, and that you want him to enter into your heart, be the savior of your life, be what connects you to God, be what connects you to eternal life, I want you to say this prayer. Father in heaven, I come to you right now, confessing with my mouth, after now believing in my heart, that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he died. He was born of a virgin. I believe that he rose on the third day. I know that he lives and he died for my sins. God, I realize and admit, I humbly come to you knowing that I need you now. I've sinned. I'm imperfect. And I ask right now that you allow your son, Jesus Christ, please come into my heart, Jesus. Allow your blood to blot out every one of my many transgressions. Become savior of my life. Become Lord of my life. Lord, I want to be in your kingdom. Thank you. Thank you, God, for saving me. I confess, I believe that Jesus is my savior. He's the savior of the world. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Wherever you are, church, give God praise.